Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts for this occasion comes to us from the third chapter of the book of Romans, verses 19 to 28, as follows. For we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So far, the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, what do you like to use for a standard of measurement? Do you prefer the standard version of the inches, the foot rule of measurement, or do you like metric? Well, most of us raised in America have a tough time, especially when that started to be introduced, but you know, really, that's all they ever use anywhere else. Over in Europe, it's all metric. And so, yeah, we've grudgingly had to start to learn about, instead of 12 inches in a foot, we've had to learn about 10 inches or 10 centimeters in a, and I don't even know the names of it, like I should. But it's supposed to be easier to multiply through and divide and figure out when you're working math, because it's based on a 10-point system rather than a 12. Oh, standards of measurement. Well, there's other things, too. How about the Celsius versus Fahrenheit standard? How do you like that? I know I've pored over that formula of how to convert Fahrenheit into Celsius so many times and vice versa, and yet I still can't get it to stick. So I just stick with whatever's Fahrenheit, how I was raised. There's different standards for all kinds of things in our lives. Take education, for instance. There's a different standard of education for different schools. Depends on what school you're going to, what level you're going to. Different standards of accreditation, academics. Today's service is, of course, falls on Reformation Day is actually October 31st. This coming Wednesday, but we're going to talk about it today. And this happened about 500 years ago. And actually, we're coming up on the 500th anniversary of the posting of the 95 Theses by that young priest, monk, Martin Luther, a member of the Roman Catholic Church, who posted his 95 sentences or paragraphs trying to help his church to reform, to change back to the Word of God. We sometimes refer to that posting of the 95 Theses as the hammer blows heard round the world, because they did have far-reaching effects. Indeed, we carry in the name of our church the name Lutheran. Lutheran, the name, has a rich heritage to it. There are many, many examples of what men like Martin Luther and other great reformers accomplished for us in our behalf to bring the Word of God, which was largely hidden from the general population, back into the mainstream of the church. What a blessing those men were. The Lord used them so that you and I today could consider His Word the standard in our lives. 500 years ago this year, in the year 1512, Martin Luther received a standard of accreditation for his learning. It was a little black beanie, kind of like those beanies that the French Foreign Legion get They put hair on their heads. This looked like that, only it was totally black. And you received one of those when you received your doctorate in theology. This marked a special day, a day when Luther could then ascend the pulpit in Wittenberg as the university professor and pastor and preach. He had his black hat, his accreditation, the standard that was accepted in those days. Today our text is all about standards of measurement. It's God's standard of what measures you and me and everyone and measures them up to be able to stand before His throne of grace unashamed, to stand before Him holy and without sin. God's standard, and thank Him again and again, our standard is faith alone. You recognize this, faith alone. It's in the last words of our text, isn't it? Actually, it's the last line is, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law, which is clear enough. Martin Luther was accused of adding words to the Bible when he jotted in the margin of his Bible, alone. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith alone, apart from the deeds of the gospel. And actually, the original language has that emphasis. It is only by faith. And we know that to be true. That's what God uses as a standard, faith alone. And that's our theme for today, God's standard and ours, faith alone. We'll see how faith alone puts an end to any boasting. We'll also see faith alone receives God's righteousness. Now, to assist in your hearing and understanding of this blessed promise before us today, I've written a glossary. You've got to turn the page in your bulletin after the sermon text, and there's a glossary of the sermon there with particular words underlined and definitions. We'll refer to those as we go. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Romans and to us, to our hearts, tells us in verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law, one of the first words in our sermon glossary. What is the law? The word of God that tells us what to do and what not to do, and the punishment for breaking the law. For example, the Ten Commandments. That's the law of God. That's one of the two great teachings of the Bible, the law. The law is holy and good. It's part of God's Word. You'll find it in the Old Testament. You'll find it in the New Testament. If a man were to keep the law holy and perfect, without any blemish, he would go to heaven. So you see, the law is a way to get to heaven. If you keep God's law perfectly, you will go to heaven. That's a statement that has an impossible... I can say that, but no one can do that. No one, aside from our Savior Jesus Christ, has ever kept God's law perfectly, has ever gone an hour without sinning once, or a moment without something in thought being breaking God's will or going against something that God commands. And if you don't think that's true, all you got to do is go to the book of James, where he says, if you've broken one commandment, you're guilty of them all. And then we hang our head and say, I guess we are guilty of all the commandments. Now, what does the verse say? We know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. He's saying all the world is guilty before God. Everyone is, because everyone has sinned. And if you're under the law, if you think that you have to keep the law in order to be saved, you're under the law, and your mouth is stopped. There's no way where you'll ever be able to say, Lord, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. Will you accept that? Because you know what He's going to say. No. Anyone who wants to attain to eternal life, to their salvation, by keeping the law, doesn't stand a chance. Every mouth has to be stopped. Then we have that verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The second word in our glossary, justified. You'll notice next to the confession of faith that we used from the Book of Concord, there's a picture of a judge's gavel. And it kind of seems out of place, doesn't it? Because you think of a judge's gavel, you think of a courtroom. And you think of a courtroom, you think of the law in all its force. But there in bold letters is faith alone. Faith alone, because God has justified us. No flesh, God says, will be justified. No flesh will be declared not guilty in God's sight by trying to keep the law. No one can do that. You know, we talked about it in Bible class. There really only are two religions, the right one and the wrong one. The right one is you're saved by grace alone through faith in Christ Jesus. It's all God. The wrong one is you have to do something to attain salvation. And that varies in different levels from different false teachings in Christendom all the way to the heathen religions. It's always a level of works that you have to be involved with and do in order to get to heaven. It's very clear right here. Anyone who wants to try to do that, to place themselves under the law, God says, I'm going to hold them responsible for keeping every letter of the law, and they can't do it. Pinch yourself. You're made of the flesh. You're not going to be able to be justified by keeping God's law. You cannot do it. No one can. No one has done it but one. There was only one man who could pinch his arm, made of flesh like yours and mine, and say that he has kept God's law perfectly. And that's our Savior Jesus Christ. Boasting, then, on our part, is excluded. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's important teaching the Bible, isn't it? We call it original sin. The fact that everybody's been infected with sin from the fall in the Garden of Eden until this day. There haven't been any babies born without sin, except for our Savior. He's the only one. So there's no reason for anyone to brag or to boast or to think, yes, I'm particularly better than anybody else. Even though that's often a temptation for us, isn't it? Especially for us Christians who have been in the church for so long and are faithfully coming and hearing God's word. Sometimes we think that the sheer number of times we've been in church counts somehow towards our salvation. But then we're reminded it doesn't. It's not the good works of hearing, going to God's house to hear his word that helps us. It's the outpouring of God's word on your heart while you're here, while you open your Bible at home or you meditate over a verse this week. Hopefully it's one of these last ones in our text for today. That's how you are given God's blessings. That's how you are given the standard that is God's and yours. That by faith alone, your faith clings and holds on to and grasps these things. The last word in the glossary, faith. Faith is a gift of God that believes, trusts, hangs on to his word, thereby giving eternal life. Some have said faith is an object. It's a present. It's not you doing something, which is the most worst false teaching that's being taught today in many churches. The just shall live by faith. That means you'll live a good Christian life. That's not what it means at all. The just shall live by faith, by this gift that God creates, puts on your heart when the Holy Spirit enters your heart and turns you around, converts you, quickens you from the dead, regenerates you, and your faith then grasps the word. It clings to his promises. It begins to understand the sinfulness inside and the God who so graciously did so much for us. It begins to help us, each one individually in our hearts, to turn away from the idea that, yeah, it's something I do every day as a Christian that's going to make a difference. It isn't. It's the powerful Word of God in our hearts and lives, and faith that trusts that Word of God. You've been baptized. You've got that gift of God that reminds you every day that He has given you faith. That you can, with that faith, battle the sinful flesh that wants to do anything but what is according to God's will. You've got that faith. from baptism that clings to God's standard that you are righteous and holy now because of the work of His Son on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago. Because of that, because of His blood shed in your behalf, you measure up to God's standard. And it's your faith that receives this righteousness. And there's another one, huh? The righteousness of God, the fourth one down there. Righteousness is the perfect keeping of God's holy will. Righteousness means to be holy, without sin. One sin enters in, one. And you have unrighteousness across the board. You have unrighteousness. That's why Christ's death, His substitutionary death on the cross, was the only thing that could ever possibly have paid the price for your sins or mine. Because there's only been one perfect, holy, without sin sacrifice. And that was His life in our behalf. So now His righteousness, that's accounted to you. That robe of righteousness, as the Bible calls it, is wrapped around you. Your faith, holding it secure, believing it, understanding that you now measure up with God's standard, His way of measuring by faith alone. Is that fair? Well, your heart will tell you no. No, that's not fair. No, I've done this past week, and man, I'm guilty of it. But God says, I'm greater than your heart. I'll take care of it. God declares us not guilty. In fact, in our text, He tells us in verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, the perfect keeping of the law, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is just. And that word just and justification, justifier, all those words from the same root have that judicial court meaning. God is fair. He will never be unfair. He will never be let things go by, our sins in particular. He has to have a price paid for them. What price has our sin earned for us? What do we deserve? Each one, eternal life in the flames of hell. But each one paid for by our Savior Jesus Christ. He atoned for us. He made us at one again with God. And as our substitute, died the death that you and I deserved. With that outpouring of God's wrath, holy wrath and anger over every single sin I've ever committed and you've ever committed. In fact, the world. Every sin has been paid for in full. It says it plainly. Jesus speaks about the Apostle Paul speaks about God setting forth Jesus Christ as the propitiation for His blood. There's another church word you don't hear outside of these walls. Propitiation. Simply put, it's the satisfactory payment. If you want a little longer definition, how about the price that was necessary to pay the price for every single sin? That's actually a little better. The sacrificial price that was needed to pay for every single sin. Jesus' blood was that price. Jesus' own precious, perfect blood was the currency, that the only currency that God would accept to pay the price of our sins. And accepted He did, because He raised Jesus from the dead to prove it. He's raised for our justification to prove that His judicial act of declaring us not guilty is an accomplished fact. God's the judge. He judged us. Not even the devil can point a finger at you and say, yes, but it's all done. Jesus paid the price. He is the just one. The Almighty Father in heaven is the just one and the justifier of those of the one who has faith in Jesus. He brought us up to His standard of measurement. Well, in the carpentry business, my son and I had a class last week in shop, and we learned about measurements. And we heard the often repeated phrase, measure twice, cut once. Well, our text for today has helped us, hasn't it? It's given us that opportunity to measure again the importance of faith alone and what that has to do with grasping and believing these powerful and precious promises that we've been justified in God's sight. Once again, the Reformation, the heritage that we have been given in our Lutheran faith, comes home to us in these words, where we again get to hear that blessed news that our sins have been paid for in full, that all is right between us and our God, for He has declared us not guilty. He has measured us, and He has accounted us as His own dear children. And one day, we'll all be together in heaven, glorifying His name with all those who have so believed by faith alone. Amen.